From Relay, this is Downstream, a podcast about the present and future of television. This is episode number 100, recorded August the 6th, 2025. I'm your master of ceremonies, Jason Snell, and in an unprecedented series of events, let me introduce my guest for this celebratory 100th episode of Downstream. First, it is Joseph Adalian from Vulture. Joe, hello and welcome back.
Hello, hello, hello. Nice to be back.
It's good.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. It's been, I mean, we've, you know, skip here and there, but it's been, this is a bi-weekly, so it's been like almost 4 years. I kind of can't believe it.
And now you can go into syndication because you've got 100 episodes.
That's right. We're going to be there Monday through Friday. Also joining us, Will Carroll from Under the Knife. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And from Canada, the home of the Sports Corner, the editor of Downstream, Stephen Schepansky. Hi, Stephen.
Hello. Yes, I am the one who desperately hopes that you mention the word Sports Corner so that I can throw the music in.
Yeah, where's the Sports Corner music from?
It is from, I believe, it's from Score Production soundtrack of, I think it's NFL or NCAA football, I think, from the 1970s.
All right. Very nice. Yep. Well, I introduced you with the phrase Sports Corner, so I hope you played it right there.
Me too. Mental note.
Okay, yeah. note to self. All right, this is what we're going to do for this episode. It's a little bit silly, a little bit fun. I actually think that this will be illustrative a little bit of like where our heads are about the world of streaming right now. So I told everybody that we're going to do a streaming services draft. For those who don't know how drafts work, we take turns and we're going to pick streaming services in this case. And once one is picked, it can't be picked again. And we're going to assemble a little list. And I think what will be interesting is the sequence in which the things get picked. And then you can talk a little bit about why you picked it. And if we want to chime in and agree or disagree, we can do that too. But we're going to go through and do the first official Downstream streaming services draft. And I have consulted random.org to get our order of play for this draft. And it's not a snake draft. We're just going to go the same four people over and over again. Joe, don't worry about what a snake draft is. You don't have to know that. There won't be a test. but it will be Joe followed by Steven, followed by Will. And then because I am your host, I will go last because it's only polite. And my mom raised me to be very polite. So with that, the rules are simple. We're going to pick some streaming services. And Joe, the world is open to you. What would you like to pick as the very first streaming service off the board?
I am going to go for a little bit of an underdog. The one does not have the most subscribers by any means. It's certainly not the only streamer you'll ever need because it has a relatively limited supply of content. But it has the content that I feel most comfortable paying for every month, that I feel that I get my money for, that I always seem to be watching something almost year-round, which I can't say about every other streaming service, including Netflix, which I don't watch year-round anymore. And that would be Apple TV Plus.
Ooh.
Wow. I honestly, Joe, it was at the top of my list too.
I
for
know.
The same reasons. For the same reasons. Is there I cover Apple for a living. And I would never have guessed that their programming would be this successful, 5 years in, that they make a lot of shows that I want to watch and that I enjoy wataching.
It just has a quality. It's not HBO, because HBO does the best of the best. The stuff that you can always see the money, the stuff that is sort of, you know, is going to be dominant at the Emmys. But a lot of it is HBO quality, and the stuff that's not HBO quality goes to FX or Showtime quality. And it's just, you know, look, the first big show they had was The Morning Show with Jen Aniston and Reese Witherspoon that a lot of people watch as a hate watch, and I understand why. It's a soap opera that has never really been good. It's just been entertaining to watch, but it really isn't what Apple TV. Apple TV instead just has... They spend a lot of money on their shows. They pay to get the right creators, the biggest talent, the biggest stars. But I just, you know, they have I like their comedies. I like the Ted Lasso cinematic universe, which is not just Ted Lasso, but it's also Shrinking. It's also Stick. Sometimes they don't all have the same producers, but they sort of have the same vibe.
Yep.
I can, you know, Apple so much?
I'm a sci-fi nerd, and I think there is no better place for high concept, big budget sci-fi, whether it's spaceships flying around in Foundation or it's parallel universes in Dark Matter. Murderbot is in that category now, and like there's it's just, I think as a sci-fi fan, I think that there's just a lot of really great stuff on there, more than any other streamer.
And by the way, there are a lot of shows that I haven't watched on Apple TV Plus, and that's what's also makes it so appealing to me, that there's, even though you think, well, there's not a lot on there, I've still not seen an episode of Slow Horses. I will love that show. And when I find, if we get to some other draft picks, I love me some cozy mysteries. I love me some crime dramas. I love me some UK stuff. And I know it's going to check some of those boxes. So I've got a lot of shows I'm already juggling. So I haven't made room for it yet, but I will get there. And yet the thing is, I know it's there and I know that they're making more of it, and that's okay. It's like, it's there and it's, I don't have to fight going through a million different things to find out what's good, because they just make originals. And, you know, as someone who covers the industry, the big rap on Apple TV Plus when they launched for the first couple of years, I won't mention some of their names, some of my colleagues at other publications kept harping on the fact they don't have a library. People need stuff to watch. They need to have old movies, and they need to have this and that. And some of that's true. A library would help to get people, you know, watching more, and Apple has experimented with having some movies libraries for about a year. They tried that, but they didn't waste money buying up the old shows from other places. They instead invested that money in making their originals, and I think that ultimately is a better way to stand out from some of the other services.
Great. And with Slow Horses, again, I'll give that one of the best shows on TV. They just announced a new show, which, as you said earlier, is adjacent. It's from Mick Herron, the author of the Slow Horses series. It's got great people like Emma Thompson, who's apparently Dame Emma Thompson now, and Ruth Wilson. So just tons of good stuff coming. The thing about Apple TV for me is that when I watch a show, even if I don't love it, I don't think they've just had a stinker where I go, this is terrible, this was poorly made, this was miscast. Every single one I don't necessarily love, but I think they've done a high quality job.
I found a stinker, but it's okay.
Now, what was that stinker? Tell us.
It was Home Before Dark, about the little kid who tries to solve a mystery.
Love that.
I hated it so much.
Blasphemy.
I hated it. But see, that's
it
okay.
I thought it was really well made, and I don't normally like those kid-led dramas where, you know, it's basically like a shrunken adult. But I really bought into that one for some reason.
It's giving Encyclopedia Brown vibes to me, which means I should check it out.
Oh, no.
I'm with Will. It was Will who just said that, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I almost feel like
Is really good. It's really good.
I feel like I don't deserve this pick, though. I haven't seen enough shows, but
you got it. It's good. You know you were going to try to get in front of me there. All right,
I basically did. Yes, it's sneaky, but isn't that how it works? We can trade it, and I can get something better.
I feel like I should pause now for our sponsor, Apple TV Plus. It's not true. Instead, Stephen, everything else is still out there for you. What is your choice?
That's true. I will also speak up. A friend of mine, Peter Hardis, who's written for Doctor Who, also had a show called Constellation on Apple TV Plus that was not renewed for a second season, but I thought it was sufficiently mysterious enough in its one and only season. So that's out there too. This episode brought to you by Constellation on Apple TV Plus. No, I'm Canadian, but I'm limiting my choices, partly because you wouldn't know what the Canadian ones are. And also because there aren't that many good Canadian streaming services. But I will complain about a Canadian streaming service when I announce my first pick, which is MLB.TV. I'm a big baseball fan. Ironically enough, I can't watch the Blue Jays, my Toronto Blue Jays, on MLB.TV. They're blacked out across the entire nation. I have to watch them on Sportsnet, which is my least favorite streaming service because I'm a big hockey fan because I am Canadian after all. And up until about 3 years ago, NHL.TV was a thing, which was using the same software and everything else, the same back end that MLB.TV was using. And it was great. You got to select different whatever home and away broadcasters. You could listen to radio or not. It was a great picture quality. You could watch picture in picture with multiple games on the app. And then while the NHL siphoned off the U.S. stuff to ESPN, which we don't get here, obviously, but they Sportsnet decided to pick up, because they are the rights holder in this country. And they decided to do away with pretty much every perk that I just mentioned. You get to watch whatever home or away feed they decide you're going to watch that day. You do not get to watch games picture in picture. In fact, many times the app will crash. You will not know what the scores are or if the game is still going on until you click the link and watch a 30-second pre-roll ad. And to top it off, they announced that they are raising their prices 30% starting in the fall, and a lot of people are outraged. So not only do I pick MLB.TV because it is the best, I think, sports streaming app, I think, of all the sports streaming apps out there, but I also am picking NHL.TV from 3 years ago as my first pick, because I miss it so much.
Yeah. And by the way, so now I guess I understand why Justin Trudeau is no longer prime minister. It's because of Sportsnet, right? He allowed it to disintegrate. It's his fault.
Somewhere during his last day of office, he must have just been like writing like rubber stamping orders and stuff like that. And says, oh no, how did that one slip through the cracks? So yeah, it probably is that. I'm pretty sure that tariffs aren't the reason why they have to jack up their prices 30%.
MLB, I got to meet some of those people at Advanced Media before they got sold off to Disney. And like, I mean, they really did in some ways invent the if not invent sports streaming, invent the first like really solid usable iteration, to the point where Disney bought it for the streaming infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's still a really great product. And I say that, I mean, actually, I was tempted to pick this because as of this season, I can pay a little extra and get my local team, the Giants, in the mix without blackouts alongside MLB.TV, which is a first. Instead, I'm using YouTube TV to watch it. But like, it's really good, and the app is great, and the ability to choose the broadcast and choose the announcers and all of that. And I talk to people every now and then. I have opinions about like other broadcasters of other teams, and sometimes they're like, why do you know so much about Jason Benetti and the Detroit Tigers? And I was like, because I like Jason Benetti and I will watch Tigers games just to listen to him. That's the answer. And MLB TV lets me.
He really is great.
Well, you just, I don't know if you snipe Will Carroll, but I love that you picked MLB TV before Will Carroll could go. Will.
No. I mean, I had it further down my list, but I think it's also a sleeper pick because everything you said, Stephen, was right. And Jason brought up that Disney Plus is basically built on the bones of MLB.TV and BAM. But I do hope against hope, that in the next rights tranche, we get rid of those blackouts, because that's really the one bad thing you can say about it.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault. It's the old system. It's pre-streaming. And if they can put those all together, as it appears they're trying to do, Rob Manfred never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity, but I think it's going to be hopefully better, more modern, that we'll get some more features. They really haven't added features the way they did at the start. Obviously, like Jason said, they basically invented the category. They made this possible. So the fact that they haven't truly innovated, though, this is one that maybe only Jason and I know, their Vision app is absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
And I wish more people could see it.
Yeah. All right, Will, what's your pick?
You know, I'm going to go with YouTube. Not necessarily YouTube TV, though I love it. I considered a lot of other things, the bigger ones. But for me, YouTube really is capturing not only a lot of my time, but a lot of other people's time. And perhaps the best money you will ever spend on any of these streaming services, it's true, but for YouTube especially, is just pay the $12 and get rid of the ads.
Yeah.
It makes it a completely different experience. You know, the biggest problem is not ads themselves. Sometimes they're good. They're not really listening to you. But it's the fact that, you know, you get targeted with things a little bit. you get things that really you're not interested in. But the worst is YouTube does it. These mid-rolls just pop through. They're not timed out. They're not going to break. It's just they cut you off in the middle of a sentence. And it just makes for a poor experience. I've always wondered why they didn't, especially for the bigger creators, teach them, hey, you should have a break here. You should at least make it clear and have some sort of chaptering. But once you do that, it suddenly becomes an infinitely better experience. Whether you're watching things like music videos where you still get a short commercial beforehand because Ariana Grande's got to get paid or something. It's just better when you're what there are TV shows on there. There are old movies. Jason mentioned Taskmaster was on there and I hadn't noticed it because they could really improve the search. But I've watched seasons of Taskmaster and it's great. I watch Brand Designs on there. I watch a bunch of British shows. I watch what basically function as people's vacation videos because I was planning my trip to Iceland and watching an endless number of Iceland videos. So shout out Wake Up Reykjavik. It's just a great little thing. And for most people, it's free. For the people that cough up the $12, it's so much better. And I think that's only going to grow.
You just stole my number three pick. but it was almost a number two pick. No, I actually just wrote a story about YouTube, and they are absolutely on fire right now in terms of here in the U.S. particularly. They are the most watched streamer in terms of minutes watched because obviously they're free. But you're right. The premium aspect, I honestly don't know what ads on YouTube look like, and I'm not lying because I've been subscribing to premium for maybe like 10 years.
It's really bad. It's totally worth it to pay.
And it sounds like you might have even the now they have the I don't know, you're in Canada, right? Will?
No, I'm in Indiana.
So that's funny that you pay for it. You still get ads for YouTube videos because maybe you have the premium light because they've now
I do have the premium light because I didn't need the music, so I still get the little ads.
I see, gotcha.
But it's not bad.
Which is less than $12. It's only $8 for that, I think. So you can get premium light.
Yeah, something like that. I had some weird Indiana streaming charge because they're going to tax everything. But I remember there was an episode with Jason where I was talking about how bad it was because I was getting ads for two things. I was getting ads for adult diapers and I was getting ads for like pull-ups for toddlers. And I was like,
wow,
can you not decide which?
Wow.
I don't need either of these products.
And diapers for everybody.
I figured, we'll hit you no matter one way or the other. They got you. Big huggies. But YouTube was also great too now about the YouTube experience. And I watch it for the nostalgia. I only watch 90% of what I watch was made in the 21st century on YouTube. And it's great because I watched part of the 1986 Oscars last night.
Yeah.
Someone posted the entire one with Robin Williams and it was great and it'll probably be taken down. But you can find so many great things there. Mm. But also they're now working with actual studios. So they're going to be rolling out a new user interface in the fall that's going to make it easier to find. They actually have full seasons of shows. Of official shows like stuff that you'll find on Netflix or Hulu in the past or Prime Video. They also have full length movies. They've got hundreds of movies, real movies from Sony, Warner Brothers that license that. And if you have the premium, they're ad free, just like everything else. So you've got that too. So, Sony also is now has a big game show library, but they're now putting in full episodes of The Gong Show, which are a show that isn't currently on any other streaming service, but it's on their channel and I can watch those ad free. So it really is that. Let alone all the other sort of, the how-tos of it all, the news and information. I mean, it really is something. And I worry what they're eventually going to jack the price up to, but it's good. And by the way, the YouTube Premium, the full service premium, also includes a subscription to YouTube Music. Literally, not just the videos, but you can just use it the same way you use Spotify, the same way you use Apple Music. Use it on your iPhone, and it's your music service and limited music, as well as music video. So it's a great bargain.
Pretty wild. Yeah. There's a reason why YouTube is the most streamed the original fast channel, I guess. I love it too and watch it a lot. More and more and more. Even I think I said this on an episode with Joe that even though I have Peacock and can watch Seth Meyers in Peacock. I just watch the Seth Meyers clips on YouTube. Mm. Even though I pay for Peacock and I have YouTube TV, I can watch Seth Meyers in so many other ways, but it's the most convenient to subscribe to his channel and watch the clips that I want out of YouTube. It just is especially
because of the fact that because of stupid regulations with affiliates, you can watch those on YouTube 6 hours before they're even on TV, which makes no sense.
It's amazing.
It's stupid, but it works.
It's
so
amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
No wonder late night's going out of business. It's because they're giving away the best stuff for free on YouTube.
Yeah. Before it even airs.
One of the complaints I do have about YouTube is their algorithm is a little aggressive. Whatever the last thing you watched was, it thinks you want to watch that for the next.
Yeah,
30 days. And my dogs watch dog TV clips of like things for while they're in their crate for like 8 hours. And so that's all I get for a while. Or I make the mistake of watching a video from the 80s like you did, Joe. And then suddenly it's like, no, you need to see everything Stevie Ray Vaughan did in the 80s, which I don't hate that, actually, because sometimes it surfaces to the best
classic, kind of like what they have a clip of that in that episode of Pyramid. But on the other hand, the other day I watched Atari introduce some new Pac-Man mod or whatever it is. I can't understand it, but I made the mistake of watching it. And now, my God, so much Pac-Man. Which do I hate? No, but I'm more of a Miss Pac-Man partisan. And it's like, where's the love for her?
They did you wrong with the algorithm there. All right, I'm going to close out the first round. And I kind of can't believe I'm going to do this, but I am going to do this. Oh, I don't have a lot of great choices because the great choices have already been taken. I think I'm going to go, David Zaslav, forgive me. I'm going to go with HBO Max.
Whoa. I thought you were going to say Netflix. Okay.
No, I'm going to go with HBO Max. No, Netflix. I'm down on Netflix. We have reached kind of a tier where I'm okay with a lot of services, but I don't love them. My rationale for HBO Max is they've got a lot of, between the HBO and what used to be called Max Originals programming, a lot of stuff that I really enjoy. I like the Game of Thrones series. It's not great, but it's good, and I watch it every week. Hacks is really great. The John Oliver keeps me there, whatever it is, 30 weeks out of the year. And I'll throw in that because of the Bleacher Report tie-in, there's the NBA playoffs to a certain degree, and also you get the baseball playoffs to a certain degree, and that's really nice. The catalog is pretty good. So good catalog, good originals. This is the most lukewarm endorsement I can give, but the truth is, I find myself watching things on HBO Max a lot, and some really good original series. The John Oliver show keeps me coming back, and then there's a bunch of good catalog stuff and some good movie stuff and some sports stuff. And honestly, I feel like that's sort of the solution. Now they're going to get probably bought out in the next couple of years, but for now, I think I would go with them next, even though I this is a very qualified endorsement, but I'm going to say HBO Max for me. Now that the HBO is back in the name, it's safe for me to go back to HBO, I guess.
I don't think you have to apologize for it, because if you think of HBO Max just simply as HBO but streaming, you can't go wrong, because HBO, I think, as a brand, has continued, despite the drama, despite the zazzle of it all, despite the selling up of the neighborhood with all the Discovery stuff, the HBO mission hasn't really changed. And HBO always has some years that are better than others.
Sure.
Sometimes they don't, and when you've got some of these other streamers making so many shows, like Apple outspending HBO. But HBO still has enough shows that, depending upon your taste, they're good shows. They make some of they once again dominated the Emmys.
So The Pit is one of the two or three best shows of the year.
Which is right.
The Last of Us is great, and was the first season was especially great. I do watch Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon, but you know what I mean. There are Hacks is spectacularly good. So, and then the catalog is good, and the movies, and then there are a bunch of movies, and some movies are terrible, but some movies are good. So like, yeah, there's enough there. And then I think the brilliance, when we were talking about the death of late night last time, Joe, the brilliance of having a show like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver is that's a show that, relatively speaking, is cheap. And it can produce a large number of episodes. And part of the name of the game is if I go too long without having launched the app, I wonder whether I should still pay for it. And by spreading out that Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, that is a classic HBO Sunday appointment for me. And that plus all of their other originals programming is enough to make it that I never really go more than a week or two without launching HBO Max. So I think they're smartly using that. It's the same idea. Like, even if 4 or 5 night a week late night shows go away, there is a way to build a topical comedy show that serves its purpose by anchoring your streaming service so you can kind of never leave.
Right. And he's not the same, you know, that used to be a little bit with Bill Maher as well. And then he went off the deep end, as far as I'm concerned. Other people here may disagree, but like for a certain segment of the audience, that's also still a thing. And you're right.
Yeah. I mean, it serves a different audience, but the same purpose. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. I remember when Bill Maher was a guest star in an episode of Max Headroom. Look it up.
Oh,
it's totally true. We're going to go back around. He was kind of a sleazebag. Anyway, back around to the top for another round of services. So, Joe, what do you have as your second pick?
Okay, well, even one that's sort of unbelievable that I'm going to pick this one, because this makes HBO Max seem completely high rent by comparison, and its owner, beloved, Amazon Prime Video.
Oh,
yeah, the utility player, literally. Mm-hmm. Because, first of all, it is an amazing value. If you think of Prime Video as just the thing you get with your relatively inexpensive, for what you get, Prime product, which gives you music, which gives you, of course, two-day delivery, et cetera, et cetera. It's very inexpensive. Even if it's the only thing you watch, it's still less than sort of Netflix. But what Prime Video has, despite an awful user interface, and it's hard to find, they've got a deep collection of classic TV. They license more types of classic TV than any other paid streamer out there. They've got a deep library of movies, of random movies, not just the big studio movies. They've got the second window for all the NBC Universal movies. And I think one other company they have a deal with to get sort of those from the theaters within a few months movies, but also just stuff from the 70s and 80s catalog movies that you're not going to find anywhere else. You've also got a decent number of originals. Do I watch most of them? No, I don't. But every once in a while, they'll have one that pops out. I like the Lord of the Rings show. Sue me. It's not
like
the best
too.
Thing, but it's on every 2 years. And it's like, okay, that's good.
Yep.
I don't watch some of their big action things. And a lot of people have never seen The Boys, never that. It's like, whatever. But it's certainly, if you want dad TV, boy, they've got you covered there. and then, you know, they're also good. I prefer to use Apple channels. But if you want to use a channel space, no one is more aggressive than Amazon. No one has more channels, and they have more bargains if you want to sample stuff. So it's just a good utility service. And while the user interface still sucks, it is better than it was 3 years ago, at least. You know, I think it's sort of a set it and forget it. It's sort of like, it is the closest to broadcast TV of sort of the paid services. YouTube is really the broadcast TV. And I pay, of course, for the extra $2.99 for no ads, because again, I'm not watching ads.
Same.
On streaming.
Mm-hmm.
We're just too, we've that genie's out of the bottle, kids. And so yeah, Prime Video, like, what can you say? The algorithm, the great Bezos, sort of, it wins for me. So yeah. I wish it was better, but it's good.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's his tagline right there, I think.
I know. Very underwhelming. It seems like no one's rushing to steal this one away from me.
No, but I agree with you on all those points. Now, I do love Reacher, and I like that they're having a spinoff. I love The Boys and the spinoff, even though they're over the top. But the other thing to keep in mind here, and I know it's not your thing, Joe, but they're pretty aggressive with sports.
Yeah.
And they've teased doing more live things, much like Netflix has. But I think, you know, Amazon really was aggressive with NASCAR, and people normally are pretty staid and status quo with sports, and Amazon was not. They were doing really aggressive in terms of how they were producing, the people they put in front of it, and people, the fans seemed to love it.
Yeah, so, Thursday Night Football too.
Thursday Night Football. I think they're going to get another night of football here with the splits. So I think Amazon is much stronger than most people realize, just because you don't always think of it first.
That's true.
Unless, you know, it is one of those The Boys or the only place to see Thursday Night Football.
Right.
Yeah. It has a horrible brand. There's no brand affinity. It's just very much the Borg. But you know what? The Borg can be useful.
Yeah, that's right.
It's efficient. We'll
assimilate them, and
they get stuff done. Yeah.
Get their best features. All right, Stephen, your pick.
Yeah, they do Monday Night Hockey here in Canada too, for what it's worth. They also have. I feel like Joe and I are on the same page a lot because I go there for the archive stuff too. I'm surprised that Prime and YouTube are off the board because I didn't list too many streaming services, thinking that no one will pick these, and then two of them are gone. But so I will pick probably my favorite streaming service that I don't watch, which is a lot of them, BritBox. BritBox is right now the only home of streaming Doctor Who these days, because modern Doctor Who is all gone off the internet, apart from the UK. So there's all of classic Doctor Who is on BritBox that's available. And there's a whole host of, as Joe alluded to earlier, I believe, which is why I'm glad I got this pick in now, The Cozy Murders, which I think it's really built its bread and butter on, I think. And it's I like, you know, obviously I like it when they add archive shows. I think I got in on the very early stages of BritBox, and where they had a social media team that was eager to appease people. And I would DM them, and they would instantly reply and stuff. And I think I suggested a 1970 show called The Sandbaggers. And within 3 weeks, The Sandbaggers was on BritBox. Amazing. And so I think those days are over now. The power that I had in that first month or two of BritBox being available. I was mostly worried that this feels like a streaming service is going to, you know, go extinct at some point if I don't support it. But apparently it's doing very well for BBC Studios.
Yeah, I think BBC just bought out the other partner,
ITV.
Yes,
they did.
They own it wholesale now. Yeah.
Yes. They did. Yep. It's all there. Yep.
And you didn't mention one of their best shows from the BBC in the UK, and that's Blue Lights. Have you seen Blue Lights?
I've not seen Blue Lights.
It's a great gritty
cop show. It's slow by.
It's not cozy. It's the opposite of cozy. It's sort of their version of The Wire, set in Northern Ireland. But it's really good, and the new season is in this fall. So catch up now for the first two seasons.
And one of my top five shows of the year, Ludwig, is on BritBox too.
Great pick.
Yeah, we just watched that too.
Now,
yeah,
I do have a question because I don't have BritBox, though I do love some of those shows. Do they have things like Line of Duty and some of the things that are like Channel 4 and ITV and the others?
Yes, they do. I think Line of Duty's on there. It's not specific. It's not strictly BBC stuff. I think there are some other.
Definitely a lot of ITV stuff from back in the day when they were co-owners. And you can get Death in Paradise, which is also one of my favorite cozy mystery treats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're going to have one more pick, by the way. I want to ask that.
We will have one more quick. It'll probably have to be quick, but we'll probably do it. But let's move on. Right. We should be able to get there because we're only about half an hour through. We got time. We'll move on to Will.
Yeah, I'm going with Disney Plus. And this is kind of a floor pick. But I'm also kind of collecting three picks in one because we know Hulu is now suddenly going to be absorbed. It's just going to be a, I don't know if you call it a channel, sort of a box inside there, like Marvel and National Geographic.
I'm just going to say you don't actually get Hulu because you have to pay for Hulu separately from Disney Plus. So
do you think that's going to continue?
Apps, we're drafting services. And yeah, I do think that at least for a while, certainly currently, even when they shut down the Hulu app, you'll still be, they want to bundle it. But I think that bundle will still be there.
I think the bundles will become the price.
I would have picked Disney Plus and Hulu together if I could have, but I decided that they're not the same. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I agree with you at this time, but I'm picking for the future. This is a development pick.
All right.
But
or
the
for
floor
Europeans.
Is, yeah, all the floor is, hey, everybody with kids is going to want this to be the digital babysitter. You add in the Marvels, the Marvel originals, which are very hit and mostly miss, all the other things they do, the Disney movies, the Marvel movies, all of that. You add in Hulu in the bundle. And now that they've finally announced it this morning, ESPN, what we had called Flagship, which now just merely ESPN, is also going to be bundled in at a really low price for now. It's going to get oppressively expensive in the near future. But it's basically one, it's going to be one big super app of TV. And I think everybody's going to need to have it if you care even a sliver about sports or even a sliver about kids. And while I only care about one of those myself, I just couldn't let Disney slip any further.
I mean, I get it. It was high on my list too. There's a lot they had the problem with them cutting back on a lot of their content spend is that I don't have little kids anymore. And when they launched the service, it was Marvel, Star Wars. And now it's like, well, you might get a Marvel show and a Star Wars show every year, but that's about it, which is not, it's not great. Like the value of Disney Plus has gone down for me. Well, the app has maintained because of Hulu, but the value of the actual service itself is less so for me. But still, I think it's a great pick. I Will, this is going to be a shocker. It's going to be a real head spinner about why I didn't let you roll Hulu in. Is because I'm going to take Hulu. So Hulu is weird for people outside the U.S. I mean, Hulu is part of Disney Plus, but the U.S., yeah, it's a separate service and it's bundled together. But the programming on Hulu, which is more adult oriented, it includes all the programming from FX. John Landgraf at FX, like, he's the mayor of television and all that, but like, that is a dynamic development environment. It is maybe, if it's not HBO, it's like in the ballpark of being HBO in terms of the stuff that they can produce out of there. Among the shows that I have watched, I mean, Only Murders in the Building is really fun, and that's a hit for them. Shogun, my favorite show from last year, that was an FX original. Reservation Dogs, which is an all-time classic, that's an FX show. Letterkenny and Shoresy were on Hulu in the U.S. And I love that show so much, those shows so much. There are just Welcome to Wrexham, so that's an FX show, that's a Hulu show. You know, Sunny is on there, The Bear is on there, Schitt's Creek was on there, Fargo is on there, like, that,
everything from ABC,
man, and and everything from ABC. You can watch your Jeopardy Masters on there if you want to. Whatever it is that you want to get, it's there. What We Do in the Shadows, I didn't even mention. Like, when I look at some of my favorite streaming shows of the last 5 years, it's shocking how many of them came through Hulu, and especially through FX, but Hulu in general. And so, as weird as it is, because it is being absorbed into Disney Plus in the long run and already is in the rest of the world, I will say there have been many moments over the last year or two where I've realized, oh, I think maybe my number one streaming service is actually Hulu, which is even weirder now that I don't watch it on the Hulu app. I just watch it inside the Disney Plus app. But it's great stuff, and FX in particular has really been a huge content engine. And if you put Hulu and Disney Plus together, you really do have an amazing catalog and set of originals.
And it's always been sort of, I was looking today because they did announce sort of this weird thing where they refused to say that it's going away. And when some trades said it wasn't, like, no, not really. And because they don't have a timetable yet, they want to make sure that the integration works. So, but it's, and we're probably at least 16 to 18 months away from it happening. But I wrote in 2019, just when it was announced, as you could sort of see that Disney Plus sort of had limited appeal, exactly like you were saying, if you didn't have kids. But if you think of Disney Plus as Disneyland, well, the future was going to be Disney World, and that Disney World is soon going to be the combination of Hulu and Disney Plus and ESPN,
yeah,
and that becomes the Netflix killer that Bob Iger has been slowly building. And yes, he had to do it in steps because of the fact they didn't own it. Also, the fact that we here in America are prudes, and it was going to take some time for people in America not to lose their absolute mind that next to Mickey Mouse cartoons, there was going to be Sons of Anarchy. Like, excuse me? But you know what? They sort of integrated that in the user interface last year, and no one really said anything because it's were good with the integrations.
Yeah.
And now they can do this. And, you know, they may, if they're smart, I think they will always allow sort of a general entertainment tab that is sort of less premium. You know, by the way, in the new ESPN app, it's going to have two tiers. It's going to have ESPN Plus tier, the basic tier, which is sort of like everything anyone who currently gets ESPN Plus gets, and then the ultimate, which is going to have just everything from the Disney empire of sports. Well, you could see the same thing for a Disney Plus subscription too, where you have a basic tier where you get, you know, your ABC, your FX stuff, your you know, your Fox shows, which are another network that has reruns, and some of that stuff, and maybe a selection of Disney movies, and then you get the bigger tier where you unlock everything,
right?
That's a possibility. I think or they make everyone pay, you know, $20 a month, which is probably what this Bob Iger wants to have happen. But I think there'll be more flexibility in price. Bob said that, and I think it's true. I think you could have sort of finally something that comes close to being a killer app.
yeah, it's a really interesting thing they're building there. I had a moment today as we're recording this on August 6th. They had their announcement about this, that the app was going away, the Hulu app. And I had this moment where I thought, oh, you see, how are they going to do that? Because they built this whole MVPVD, Hulu Plus Live TV, which is a cable replacement on top of Hulu. And do they really want to bring that into Disney Plus? And then I realized, oh, but one of the things they're also doing, if they're allowed by regulators, is buying Fubo.
No.
And they're going to just, that service transfers over to Fubo, and they've got a separate app for their over-the-top thing.
Although, actually, you know what, Jason, there's some confusion on that, just not to correction, but I'm actually unclear. I've actually read some points that they may actually figure out a way to integrate it into the new Disney Plus, but it may be branded Fubo. The business is going to be branded but I think
that's
Fubo could live on Disney Plus, which I don't know. We'll see if this new
architecture. My thought was, what do you do with the app if you're going to build that app functionality in? Because there's a whole other set of code that you're going to have to put in there. And I thought, well, you could make the Hulu app go away and at least in the short term use the Fubo app as the shell for your live, you know, cable replacement.
They could, exactly, yeah.
Or potentially, I mean, we'll see how that all plays out. But yeah, Bob Iger's little plans are coming into effect. Okay, we're going to do one more round and we'll start with Joe.
All right. Well, you actually helped by picking BritBox, because I honestly was going to try to be a jerk and try to see, can I pick two and ones? Because to me, this app, Acorn TV, sort of fits right with BritBox, and I didn't know which one to pick. Well, now I don't have a choice, so I'm picking Acorn TV, which on any given day, I like one more than the other. I really do like Acorn TV in some ways just a little bit more than BritBox, even though BritBox has some better shows and a little more of a BBC sensibility to it, because it is the BBC. But they have cozier mysteries. They're their little underdog. They actually have been around as a brand since before streaming. They used to sell DVDs of British shows and VHS tapes actually in the 80s. And then they launched this little streaming service. Then AMC Networks bought it, and it's owned by AMC Networks. And you can sometimes see some Acorn originals on AMC cable. You can see it in the AMC Plus app. But the service itself is great because they commission a lot of their own original stuff that I love. Like, again, it's so cheesy, the Madame Blanc mysteries or Art Detectives. I can't even remember. Sometimes I'll confuse which shows are Acorn and which shows are BritBox, but it's another great, ridiculously inexpensive way to get just a lot of great British drama, and also not just Britain, but they get shows from Australia. They have shows from South Africa. It's definitely a very cozy app. If you like cozy mysteries, I think Acorn TV out cozies the BritBox. But that's a show for another day. Who has the coziest mysteries in streaming? But I really like Acorn TV. Has anyone else here watched it?
Yeah.
Or the BritBox fan? Yes.
I like Acorn too. And also shout out to Acorn, who I don't know if they listen to this show, but they listen to the old TV Talk Machine show. And Acorn is still the only streaming service that I still receive screeners from. So thank you to Acorn.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Everyone should be giving you screeners.
Now I've said it.
Too.
Somebody's going to be like, oh no, turn off Jason's screeners. I guess that's not true. Occasionally there's an Apple TV Plus show because I know who to ask for that, but mostly it's not. Mostly it's Acorn, and I do appreciate Acorn. I think Acorn, I mean, the reason that I was skeptical about the future of like BritBox was I thought surely BritBox and Acorn are going to eventually just kind of merge together, but they have different identities. Acorn stuff, I feel like Acorn is more comfortable with foreign language from other parts of Europe, which makes it, you know, a little bit different and a little bit broader. And that's when I have my friend in England who's like, oh, my wife is into this French detective, you know, show.
Madame Renoir.
That always ends up on Acorn.
Exactly. Yeah, I wish they had the budget to sort of do some dubbing, because I'm not watching French subtitles. Sorry. I'm that ugly American. Sorry, our Canadian friend. But, by the way, this is also another one of these smaller streaming services where it actually does, even though you'll pay a little bit more for the privilege of watching it in Apple TV channels or Prime channels, the actual Acorn TV app is pretty buggy and awful, as is BritBox, quite frankly. They don't have the money for the technology, as far as I'm concerned, to make it really great.
So just
but when you watch
put it into the TV app or into the Prime Video
and
app,
it just,
and
the great
it
shows are there, and it's perfect. Same thing with something like Hallmark TV Plus, which is, if you like that sort of stuff, it's great. And so, yeah, but Acorn TV.
Okay. All right, Steven, it's your turn.
I think this one will be interesting because I think it's dependent on where you are in the world based on what you actually get in it. It's Canopy and to a lesser extent Hoopla. Because it's basically connected to your local library. Yes. And and they have an amazing wide selection of content, both British stuff, which is like some stuff is on BritBox, some stuff is not on BritBox, which always throws me for a loop. They have like several like Criterion movies are on there as well, like a whole host of non-English language foreign cinemas from past and present as well. And for some reason, just Watched is maybe because of the local variances. Just Watch never seems to list it as a destination for things if you're searching for them. So you do kind of have to go through the app itself to find stuff. And I've done it several times for movies that we're about to watch. We're reviewing them on the Incomparable Network, and they haven't been anywhere else, but they have been on Canopy. So yeah, that one's a constant search for me.
That's a very good pick. I actually recently got re-upped my library card to make sure I had access to that because I do want to get that. And by the way, this shouldn't be a service. I'm just going to sneak this in. Sorry, Jason, but like if you're into this sort of stuff, like BritBox and Acorn and Canopy and Hoopla, also consider getting a subscription right now if you're in America to PBS Passport,
which
you can support for as little as $5 a month. And now that it's been defunded by our stupid federal government here, we don't have a CBC here. We don't have anything. But you can support it, and you can get a lot of, and they've got a lot of great British dramas there. I'm watching Magpie Murders right now on the PBS Passport app. It's definitely it's not top tier, but boy, it's a lot of good stuff.
They got all the Ken Burns docs are on there. They have
Great Library,
Great and Small on there. There's a lot of really good stuff on PBS Passport, and all you do. So Tim and I used to explain this, and we're frustrated by it in TV Talk Machine era. So I'll do it here too, which is how do you get PBS Passport? Well, go to your local PBS station, or you can go to PBS.org and look it up. And then you become a member. And I think if you donate $5 a month to your local PBS station, you can then validate and you get PBS Passport. And then there's an Apple TV app and there's smartphone apps. And once you do that, you unlock the whole thing. And one of the great things they do when they do like Masterpiece or something like this, where they're picking up something from overseas and then showing it in the US, one of the things they'll do is they'll, you know, run that 6-episode British series over 6 weeks. They just put all 6 episodes on PBS Passport on day one. So you can just binge it if you want to. It's great. Really good service.
Mm-hmm. And you also get, by the way, I don't know if every city, not a pick. It's not a pick. Nope. We're just talking. But by the way, you also get, at least in my city, and I think in most cities, you'll get your local PBS station's member magazine. And so I get a magazine every month that sort of has the best of what's on PBS and what's on Passport. And it's great. Very nice. It's just like, remember the old HBO program guy that used to get from cable companies back in the day?
Yeah.
I miss that so much. Netflix should totally do that. But PBS does that. And we're mentioning, oh, this is new. The new season of this is on. It's a good thing.
Netflix? I've never heard of it.
Yeah. Our local quote-unquote PBS station is KSPS in Spokane, and they actually have more Friends of Seven supporters from Canada than they do in the U.S. So they've taken donations at par for decades. I've been a Friend of Seven since the 90s, and I get PBS Passport as well because of that. It's great.
Amazing.
We love you, Canada. Yeah. We don't deserve you as neighbors, especially now.
Will,
I mean that.
It is your choice.
Yes. Well, I'm feeling like the Cleveland Browns, and it fell to me, Shedeur Sanders style. About 4 people got that. I just figured
I'd
go
for
the hate comments. But Netflix, it fell in my lap.
There it
and
is.
As much as I was willing to pass on it, you can't pass on it completely. Sure, Peacock just lost the WWE, and the reason for most of the people to have it, unless you're an English soccer fan, Paramount Plus is still out there. But Netflix really does have the chance to do anything it wants to do. It has the money to spend on content. It still puts out a ton of content. I mean, I'm going to eat dinner and then watch the start of Wednesday season 2 or season 2 part 1 or however they're doing it. I just watched The Sandman. I love Black Mirror and Department Q. If you don't think it still does Prestige, just go and watch Adolescence, which everybody should do. It's that important a show. Squid Games didn't land. I'm crossing my fingers for Stranger Things. I'm hoping they figure out more live TV. I really love David Chang's cooking show. I wanted to love Mulaney's sort of talk show, but it didn't land, at least for me. They've done some live events. They did the one weird football thing that they really didn't do. They could do a lot more, even though, I'm still very intrigued that they didn't bid harder on Formula One and gave that away to Apple TV, which also really intrigues me. But I think Netflix is just too big. I think it's not going away. And it does hit harder than we may have given it credit for by passing up on it this far.
Netflix is like water. You have to have it. I mean, I really, it's you can complain about it, or it's like network TV in the past where you used to complain about it and we all watched it. I 100% agree with your pick. And you know, I've recently started watching Leanne, which is a sitcom that they made out of a woman who's, I've never seen an ounce of her stand-up. And it's not a great show that's going to win an Emmys, but it's just a fun, diverting, very much 1990s style TV comedy. And it's there. And I actually love John Mulaney's show. Understand why it was divisive. Hardly anybody watched it, especially after the first episode, the ratings went off a cliff. But they can do it, and they're sort of essential, and they're hard to love these days, but they're impossible, I think, to ignore.
All right, well, that leaves me with the last pick of the draft, and it's very much as astutely described, is a question of, is it Paramount Plus or Peacock? It's almost like the last who's going to be left behind here. And I thought about it. And I, you know what? So I wanted to go with Peacock for a few reasons, but there are too few reasons. I'm going to go with Paramount Plus. Part of that is I'm a lifelong Star Trek fan, and it is the source of Star Trek. And that is a winner for me. But there are some other good originals. They have also all the stuff from CBS, which is like Survivor is one, but there are also some, I don't love all the CBS procedurals or anything, but like if I'm really living in a world where I only get three streaming services, I will churn through the Paramount Plus catalog. But I do get Survivor, which I watch and my daughter watches, and that's a really popular one in our family. And I get Star Trek, and I get the NFL, which if I'm not, if I really am only doing three streaming services, it gives me some CBS NFL games and some other CBS streaming sports content, Champions League. I just turned my back on my watching Arsenal on Peacock, so I guess I'm going to have to survive with the Champions League. But it'll give me some soccer to watch at least. So I don't love Paramount Plus, but it does have some shows that, I mean, I pay for it because there are shows that I basically will not miss, and Star Trek is number one on that list, but there are others too. So there it is.
You didn't even mention the Sheridanverse, which is big for a lot of people.
I've never seen any of it, but it's there. Same. And if I only have three streaming services, I'll get to it.
That's true.
It's good to me.
I think with both Paramount Plus and with Peacock, both of these would have to be a future pick. Sure, they have some interesting things now. Do you like this? Do you like that? Do you want to watch Champions League? Do you want to watch WWE? Well, not WWE anymore. I guess it's just EPL. We'll see what else they do. But it's because they're both going functionally to new companies. Skydance has taken over Paramount.
Yeah, we just don't know.
What are they going to do? The split between Comcast and Versant, or Xfinity and Versant, or whatever darn tags we're putting on it. What are they going to do now? Where are they going to get the content? Is it just going to collapse? Or is it just going to be the Olympics channel every 2 years? There's so many interesting possibilities with those. I agree with you. I would have gone Paramount over Peacock, but I'll be curious. Yeah, Mark Lazarus is a smart guy.
If it was during the Olympics, I would go the other way, right? But it's during Star Trek airing, so I'm going to go that way instead.
And it depends also if you're someone who's into the Bravoverse and the NBA. If you're an NBA fan right now, the Peacock is going to be essential.
Place. Yeah. As a soccer fan, I thought about that too. It's definitely these are both kind of at a similar level for me.
They're just eventually going to have to merge, so that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like the there's going to be consolidation, but we haven't been there yet. So let me recap what we have. Joe has Apple TV Plus, Prime Video, and Acorn TV. That's a very Joe selection of services. Steven has MLB TV, BritBox, and Canopy and Hoopla for the library. That's a very Steven Schimpansky collection of services, I have to say. Will has YouTube Premium, Disney Plus, and Netflix. So Will is Mr. Mainstream Popularity. Everybody's going to Will's house.
I live in Indiana. Come on, man.
I have HBO Max, Hulu, and Paramount Plus. So if you want your second tier streaming services, come my way. And that is the end of this 100th episode of Downstream. I hope everybody out there enjoyed it. We really appreciate you listening. You can always send us feedback, downstreamfeedback.com. And let me thank my guests for being here. Will Carroll, where can people find the stuff that you do?
You can find me at undertheknife.substack.com. Though probably not the Substack part for very long. But Jason, congratulations, and thanks for letting me be a small part of this.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you for being here. Stephen Schepansky, where can people find the stuff you do?
Well, you can find me at RadioFreeScholar.com, where my long-running Doctor Who podcast will be entering its 20th year next year.
Wow.
With no actual Doctor Who to talk about. So that'll be a fun time. We'll stretch the format of what we could do with the podcast, but that's where you can find me.
Very nice. And Joe Dalian, where can people find you?
I write for Vulture.com and New York Magazine, or New York Magazine and Vulture.com, pick your pick. And you can find me on the Blue Sky at TV Mojo, MOJOE. Yes, that's how I assemble
it.
Anyway.
It.
And thank you for letting me be a part of this. I'm a relatively recent addition to the Downstream universe, but it's been an honor and a lot of fun.
And this is the ultimate crossover of the Downstream universe. So thank you all, and thanks to everybody once again out there who listened to this podcast. You can find me at sixcolors.com, and I'm on many other podcasts at Relay and over at theincomparable.com. And that's it for episode 100. We had fun. I hope you did too. We will see you next time.